The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And welcome into hour two of Sports Talk 1240 here on AM 1240 WGBB. I am Andy Madison, your host for the second hour. Want to thank Jason, who had things going in the first hour. Also want to thank my man Brian over there, the board op, the man behind the glass, the man with the plan. We are into the second hour here on Sports Talk 1240. Lots to get to. We've got the crazy day in the NFL. Note, if you just heard the breaking news, Jerry Richardson, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, is putting the team up for sale. We'll have more on that in just a bit, but I want to start off with Mike Francesa, sports talk radio legend here in the New York area on WFAN. It was a very bittersweet occasion on Friday when he signed off on his show for the last time on WFAN, putting to end a 30-year radio career, at least for now, at WFAN. And joining us to talk about that, we have got Brian Monzo, who is a producer for Mike Francesa and a producer at WFAN. Brian, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, Brian, thanks for joining us and giving us a couple of minutes. Is this your first post-show interview since Friday?
It is. I've been, I had some family gatherings yesterday, and I was working the Giants game today, and it'll probably be the first and only one, to be honest with you. So,
happy to do it. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes here on this Sunday night. I know you're busy. You're working at WFAN with the you're involved in the Giants radio broadcast. I want to start off, take me back to Friday and that final show. Mike had a very specific plan. He just wanted to talk to the callers. You know, you had all the guests line up on Thursday, and then Friday, he just wanted to have the callers, and he tried to get as many in as he could. What was that show like?
It was exactly how it sounded on the air, was how we took to it, other than the fact that, you know, we had to put the calls up because myself and Chris McMonagle, my assistant producer / board op, both grew up Mike and the Mad Dog fans. Both knew this day was coming for a long time, and were not only lucky enough to be in the control room and to see it live and be one of the few people to see it live. You know, we got to see it live as fans. So, you know, I was curious to see how it went, and, you know, the mood at the station was pretty good. Everybody was, people that had last chances to take pictures of Mike that worked there or whatever got the opportunity to do that. But he was great, and I thought he handled it as you'd expect, you know, as he always does. So it was wild, and it's a memory for me that I certainly won't forget. As far as my professional career and, you know, as a fan, because, you know, he's the reason, as you've heard, you know, millions of people say, especially in these last few weeks, you know, he's, you know, the reason I'm in this field to begin with. So it was, I think you said bittersweet. It was bittersweet, but it was fascinating. It was fun. It was real. It was, it was very unique to, you know, to see it live in person and, you know, then go back and listen to it on podcast after.
What was it like in the weeks leading up to the final show, where you had kind of all these guests lined up and people who wanted to call in? And Mike would talk about a story from a while ago, and he kind of would say on the air, he'd say, "Hey, Mon, see if we can get, you know, somebody, you know, Coach K or somebody from the world of sports or the world of sports broadcasting on one last time." What were the last 3 weeks like in preparing for these final shows?
Chris and I, McMonagle and I, made a list of some people that we thought were big-time contributors to the show or big-time contributors to New York, you know, New York sports in the last 30 years or whatever, that we thought, you know, would be good additions and, you know, get them on one more time before Mike said goodbye. So that was primarily our focus, and You know, I'd say we made a list of maybe 25 people, and I think we got 24 of them, you know, at least from the list that we made. So that was, you know, it was a lot of hard work. You know, it's not like, you know, like I always say, it's, you know, we're not working on the Brooklyn Bridge in the, you know, 10-degree weather, but as far as the hard work that we do, it was a lot of emails, a lot of text messages, a lot of, you know, when you're a producer, when your job is getting guests, and you typically don't want to be too annoying, but I really didn't care how annoying I was because I knew it was important to do this, and, you know, I think we did a pretty good job, and, you know, getting guys like Namath on and Jeter on, you know, guys that don't do a lot of interviews to begin with, I felt was really special, so I was very happy with how it worked out the last few weeks.
We are talking with Brian Monzo, producer at WFAN, of course, most well-known for, well, the Mac and Mons podcast, but also being a producer for Mike's On, Mike Francesa's show. What was it like working for Mike Francesa? You said you grew up listening to him, listening to Mike and the Mad Dog, and then all of a sudden you slide into the producer spot to work with Mike.
That was, you know, it was terrific. It was, you know, everybody has this mindset or, you know, that he's, like, really difficult to work for, that, you know, and that's, it's really not the case. He's, I've worked for a lot of people in this field, and I could tell you that he was the easiest to produce for. I mean, in some ways, and I'm sorry, I ate some Mexican food.
That's okay.
So, I mean, he's, you know, he's a really surprisingly, surprise some people, it's really down to earth, and the Mike that you see at Mulcahy's or Bar A, where he's, you know, hanging out with the fans, that's really how he is. I mean, he's, you know, like anybody else, you know, likes time to himself, and you kind of got to know when to engage him. You know, he's so focused on stuff outside of work and his family and some of his interests, but, you know, he's a dude, you know, like we went to Mohegan Sun and we played blackjack together and, you know, shared some laughs and he, you know, watches games. I mean, he's, you know, he's just another one of the guys. He just happens to be Mike. So we had a great working relationship. It was probably the best professional relationship I've had in my 14 years of working at the station.
Do you think you're going to get him involved in WWE? I mean, he does ask you about the wrestling events. Do you think that you're any closer to that?
You know, the only way he'll get involved is his kids, you know, become big time fans. Otherwise, it's not something I think he finds interesting. I'm not sure he understands it in the fact that WWE is now more storylines than, you know, performance in the ring. So I think that's, you know, how he doesn't seem to understand that for us, it's a soap opera more than a sport. So, but if, you know, if his kids continue to pursue interest in it, I'm sure he'll take, I mean, if he takes his daughter to Taylor Swift concerts, he'll take his son to see wrestling.
Two shows that I want to talk about that in the last month that I think that got a lot of attention and show how much of a force Mike Francesa is. Tuesday, November 28th, that was the show where he learned that the Giants announced Eli Manning was getting benched. What was that show like as the news is coming out? I mean, Mike finds out the news, it's announced during Mike's show. Kind of take me through, what was that like? Because his reaction, of course, got a lot of attention, and I think showed really, he grasped kind of the feeling for what a lot of Giants fans were feeling as this was coming out that Eli Manning was going to get benched, and he wasn't getting benched for Geno Smith. He was getting, you know, he wasn't getting benched for Davis Webb. He was getting benched for Geno Smith.
Well, we got a press release from, and a note from the, from within the organization that, you know, that said that Geno Smith will start. So the first thing I did was make a couple calls before it kind of went public, and not 100% accurate. It was the fact that Geno was going to start and Davis Webb was going to play the second half. So at the Mike's initial reaction on air was almost accepting that, you know, the Giants are taking a look at, you know, Geno and Davis Webb. But once McAdoo talked and basically said that this was the game plan to sit down Eli for Geno and make him the backup, was when all hell broke loose. You know, when he basically told you guys that, you know, Geno's who we're looking at. He's our starter this week because, you know, we think, you know, we could win this game. And you know, we think that Geno has potential to be in the future, which we all know was not true. And, you know, I knew right as soon as Coach McAdoo talked, and I could just see Mike hearing it differently than was initially explained to us. I knew he was going to, you know, he was gonna kind of lose his cool a little bit about it, and that show got a ton of publicity, and you know, you saw that rant, you know, almost everywhere. You know, Mike's the only guy. Chris and I, McMonagle and I say this. We talk about this a lot in our podcast. We have the luxury of seeing these things firsthand, but we also know when Mike is talking about something that's in the news, where Mike talking about it is also going to be news. And we knew that, you know, when he had those two segments about, you know, ranting and raving about McAdoo, that not only was it going to be news that, you know, what's happening with the Giants, but secondary news is going to be how Mike reacted to it. And as you probably saw, it was all over the internet, all over the newspapers, and it's just, I'm not sure there's anybody else in the media in the country that can talk on the radio for 15 minutes, yell and scream, and that also becomes a secondary story going along with the story he's talking about. It's amazing how he does that.
We're talking to Brian Monzo, the WFAN producer of Mike Francesa's show. Mike's on. So what's next for you? You're still at WFAN, right? You're not. I know Mike kept saying.
I am. Yes, I'm an Entercom employee. What's next for me? I mean, look, this week I'm on the schedule to do 2 to 6:30, and we haven't made anything official. We don't have to for a few weeks, but you know, all I'll tell you is, you know, I'll be around. I haven't decided yet exactly in what capacity. I think this might be an option, a second option, but, you know, I'll be tweeting, promoting shows starting tomorrow, and, you know, when I have something, when I have absolute of where I'm, or what I'm doing, I will certainly let everybody know.
Well, in addition to being a producer, you've got the podcast, the Mac and Mons podcast, which you do with Teams Together.
It was going really well. The station's undergone a lot of construction in the past. I mean, actual construction inside the building, which has limited studio availability. So we've only done, unfortunately, maybe five or six in the past 2 months. But, you know, when we do it, it always gets good reaction. Chris and I have a lot of fun doing it. Chris is... gotten to do a couple of shows. I did a couple of shows on the Fan during the year, and Chris is going to have a couple more in the holiday season. So it's definitely helped us out both professionally and, you know, it gives us a weekly outlet to rant and rave and have some fun and talk about our lives and talk about things that we think are funny. So the podcast is good. We've done about 60 episodes. We brought in Tommy Lugauer a couple times. One of the guys that works at the station is a really good personality. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, everybody's got a podcast. Why not us?
Do you think podcasting is in Mike Francesa's future?
I honestly joked around in the summer because I knew I was going to get asked this question. People think I'm lying to him, and I swear to God I'm not. I have no idea what's in Mike's future. I've been asked 1,000 times. I was going to make a T-shirt saying I don't know what he's doing. I think he's going to be interested in a lot of things, but he hasn't hinted. I haven't pried. It's not my business. I don't know if he's going to podcast. I don't know if he sees it as, you know, what. Here's one thing I know about Mike, and he's admitted this before. He likes being different. He always liked the show being different. You know, with everybody podcasting, I could see him almost steering elsewhere just because everybody does it.
You mentioned Mike being different. I think that was one big draw to WFAN because it had that, you know, local New York sports feel that I guess, New Yorkers and people, you know, in this tri-state area were able to kind of get, you know, get their sports and get sports talk and reaction from New Yorkers as opposed to, like, a national show like, an ESPN or a syndicated show, you know, coming here. I mean, you see, as someone who's listened to WFN a lot, you see the differences because what, you know, Mike Francesa did and Mike and the Mad Dog, you know, Mike's reaction to the San Francisco Giants back in 2003, that was authentic. And in some shows, and I'm not going to mention any names, but in some areas, it seems like everybody has sort of a role to play. Like, well, this guy's the hot take guy, or this guy's the contrarian, and then one person is sort of the straight man host, traffic cop. I mean, do you think people kind of saw that with Mike Francesa? He was authentic in his takes and his reactions to the sports topics.
Yeah, I mean, look, the one thing about Mike is that nothing he's ever said, opinionated-wise, was ever a forced opinion. And one thing he said, when we go back to the McAdoo rant, and the reason he gets so heated about it is because it's coming from the heart. Like, he means what he's saying, and he's got a passion for it. So he never says something, you know, for the sake of saying it, see if they get some kind of buzz. It's, you know, he says something that he believes in, and you know, he was never fake like that. So, unfortunately, there might be a lot of people these days in the media, on TV, that do say things just to get reaction. But that's one thing Mike never did.
We're talking with Brian Manzo, a producer at WFAN. You've been at the station for a while now. How did you kind of get your start out at WFAN?
So I went to Kane University in New Jersey. I interned at a couple of different places. I finally got an internship in the traffic department at the Fan. After doing a couple months there, I moved to the programming department for an internship. This is back in, like, 2004. From there, I hired part-time in programming and, you know, it was a tape op and a board op and a fill-in producer and, you know, from there, I just, once something opened up full-time, I got hired, and then, you know, just moved up the ranks there, and finally got to Afternoon Drive in 2012, I believe it was, and I've been there since, and, you know, it's kind of weird that, you know, I remember skipping out in college classes to listen to Mike and the Dog, and even Mac and Sid back in the day if something really big happens, but... You know, going, you know, beyond that, listening to Summers and Salzburg and, you know, all the shows that were on, you know, throughout the years. And, you know, when you're young, you never know what you're going to do in life. But the fact that I was able to be lucky enough to, you know, to be at work Afternoon Drive and to be there for Mike's last show is something that if you told me that I was going to do when I was, you know, listening to, I wouldn't have believed you. So it was, it's been a wild ride. But that's how I got in. You know, I'm like everybody else. I've had a million jobs go along with it. I worked at Sirius for a while. I covered high school sports at a local station in Jersey. I worked at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting for a while. But, you know, the Fans were what I love, and I like, you know, the future of it. And I'm proud to be a part of it, proud to be part of the family.
Did you get any specific advice from Mark Melusis or Chris Carlin or some of the other producers when you became a producer for Mike Francesa's show?
Well, Melusis is one of my closest friends, so I certainly talked to him about it. But, I knew Mike before I was his producer. And, you know, I was, when one of his previous producers had left, I was probably the runner-up for the job. I actually thought I should have got it. I was kind of pissed, to be honest with you. But, you know, Mike and I had a relationship. And, you know, once the opening that I got, you know, was filled by me, we kind of had a natural fit. I kind of have a personality that molds well with Mike. I'm very laid back and relaxed. And, you know, Mike... You know, something that you need to do when you're a producer is not be able to, you know, not panic and not, you know, be annoying. You kind of just want to have control and be calm. And, you know, that was kind of a natural fit that way. And, you know, I knew Mike. Mike and I have a couple of very weird niche bonds. I like the stock market. He likes the stock market. I like horse racing. He likes horse racing. So we had those things to verbally bond over before I was even his producer. So it was kind of a natural fit, and it worked out well. We'll remain friends. We will text message. I've already spoken to him since Friday, as if just hope you're doing okay. How you feeling after the last show? And he was at the Garden last night with his kids. And
I saw that. Yeah, into the Knicks game.
I'm happy for him. He gets to spend more time with his family, and it's a new adventure for me. So, but it was great. To say I was there for the last show, I was talking to Nick Monaco today, and we still honestly can't believe it. So,
Brian Monzo, WFAN producer, giving us a few minutes here on this Sunday. I appreciate you talking to us with the WWE Clash of Champions going on tonight.
Don't give me any spoilers. I
will not. I will not give any spoilers.
I was watching after this. I was watching some of the football game first. So,
any reaction to the Steelers Patriots finish?
I was in the car listening on the ride home from MetLife. First off, I had Jesse James, my fantasy team. So that was devastating. It goes to show how bad my tight end depth is. Amazingly, I'm going to be in two championships, but,
congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I won't win either. It's infuriating that, a catch just can't be what you see as a catch. And it's got to be so precise by a replay. You can tell when, you can just tell, there should just be like an eye test. If it looks like a catch, it's a catch. I mean, all we got to see is the tip of the ball is on the ground, and if it moved just, a quarter of an inch as the guy was rolling out of bounds, it's just, it slows up the game. And, I was watching, I was at MetLife, and I kept the Packer game on, because I have a little bit of a, my secondary team is the Packers, mostly because I like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, who doesn't? But just the pace of these games, every play is replayed. If you go to the red zone, every game's in the middle of a challenge or a replay. It's just, there's no pace to these games anymore. And going back to that play, it's just, I guess by rule it wasn't a catch, but let's be honest, the Steelers got screwed.
The NFL put out, I guess, an explanation video kind of, explaining why it was overturned, but I think that only adds to more confusion. But it's also a play like that reminds me of, something that happens in a game and people saying, oh, I wonder what Mike is going to say about this tomorrow, or something like that.
I already got tweets about that. So, there's going to be things like this that happen over the next few months that, people are going to be, wishing they had Mike's take the next day. And that's, Mike talked about in his clothes, going out with his fastball, which is something he wanted to do. And it just goes to show that he was able to do that because he's leaving. And, he has left. And there's already a little bit of controversy in the NFL. And, everybody and their sister wants Mike's take the next day. And that's probably exactly what he wanted, was people going, craving, his opinion the day after a story. That's when people don't care about your opinion, is when you probably stay too long. So I think you nailed it.
You mentioned that we talked about the McAdoo rant earlier. There seems to be, there was a lot of talk on social media where people think that, Mike's rant kind of, because the Maras, they never make a change in-house and they always wait till the end of the season. And there seemed to be a thought that Mike's rant kind of sped up the process. What do you think, he really had a significant role in how Ben McAdoo was viewed? Because that rant, there wasn't anybody who came out and said, Mike's way off base here. It seemed like that seemed to be the resounding opinion and thought from the fans and from people who follow the Giants.
Well, look, I don't know how much it played into the result of Ben McAdoo, but here's what I'll tell you. On Thursday, David Beal was one of the guests on with Mike. And what he said, excuse me real quick, what he said was, the players will tell you they don't read the newspapers or listen to the radio, and, the smart ones do, because the smart ones want to get the feel for the pulse of the fan base. And Mike's show got the pulse of the fan base. And you heard throughout the week the fan base was livid with the fact that Eli was benched. So while I'm not going to sit here and tell you what Mike said moved along the process, I certainly think the fan reaction on Mike's show, maybe started by Mike, possibly sped up the process because the fans' perspective was made a lot very public. So that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Brian Monzo, we appreciate you giving us a couple minutes on Sunday. I'll get you out of here on this. I know you're a Mets fan. How do you feel about 2018?
I've already asked if I can become a Yankees fan next year. Because it's just so much easier to root for a team when you have a GM. And as much as I like Joe Girardi, and I think he's one of the greatest, he's such a good guy. But you get that the Yankee team, and they're always looking to improve their team. And you just don't get the feeling that the Mets, they're going to bring Swarzak. There's plenty of names out there. Hosmer, Martinez, Yelich. There's guys out there that you'd love to see wearing a Mets jersey, and there's no chance it's going to happen. And it's infuriating. We're going to sit here, we're going to be looking at Yuel Cabrera, we're going to be looking at Jose Reyes. There's some people who actually think David Wright's going to come back. It's torture. It's become torture. It's amazing after the World Series 2 years ago coming off day, it felt maybe be at the beginning of something. They have digressed so much. It's painful to even think about. And the fact the Yankees go out there and get that, and I understand who's handed to them, and that's fine, but they still got them. Now there's, obviously the rumors of Machado or whatever. It's just, it's enough's enough. And the Mets are going to go out there and not going to do a damn thing. We can fantasize they may. Maybe they'll bring back Jay Bruce and I'll be fine. But, it's painful. It's brutal.
Mets are certainly going to have a new look to them in 2018, as are the New York Yankees. In the last year, there's been a lot of, Phil Jackson, Ben McAdoo. There's been a lot of new faces and a lot of turnover here in the New York sports scene. Brian, I appreciate you taking the time this Sunday. I know you were producing the Giants game earlier at WFAN. You got a busy night probably ahead of you, but I appreciate you giving us a few minutes post Mike Francesa. And again, it's the Mac and Mons podcast. The next episode, I guess, just TBA because of the holidays.
Yeah, we'll probably do one this week.
Okay.
I appreciate the plug.
Of course. Absolutely. The podcast, Mike gave you a lot of love for it on his show, and I figured, it is, you and McMonagle do a good job. So.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the time, and we will stay tuned for what goes on with Mike and what goes on with you at WFAN.
I appreciate it, man. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Thank you very much. Brian Monzo, WFAN producer, most recently the producer for Mike's On, Mike Francesa on WFAN. Of course, as those of you who know Mike Francesa, a sports talk radio legend in the New York area, and obviously was part of Mike and the Mad Dog, one of the most successful sports talk radio shows, put WFAN on the map, put sports talk radio on the map, and Mike had his last show on Friday. They have renamed the studio at WFAN the Mike Francesa Studio. I want to thank Brian Monzo for giving us a couple of minutes on a Sunday. Also, I got to give a shout out to my boy Andy Sukoff, who gave me the idea to reach out to Monzo, and I did, and he couldn't have been nicer, and I'm really glad we were able to make this work out. So you're listening to a Sports Talk 1240 here on AM 1240 WGBB. I'm your host, Andy Madison. The second hour, we're going to take a little bit of a break here. When we come back, let's talk some NFL, shall we? We had the Giants and the Jets in action. The Panthers are up for sale, and the Patriots get another lucky break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back into Sports Talk 1240. I am your host, Andy Madison, taking you through the second hour Sports Talk here on AM 1240 WGBB every Sunday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Jason was the host in the first hour. I am taking you through the second hour. My man Brian Graves there behind the glass thinks a hot dog's a sandwich, which I love. I think that's great. My boy Andy Sukoff was in here last week, and he had a bit of a debate, and I think you guys outnumbered him 2-1. It was him and the guest. And so I love that debate. That's like one of my favorite debates. That's that Bradley Cooper or Ryan Gosling, how you decorate a Christmas tree, Christina Aguilera versus Britney Spears. There are just a couple of different ones. I like to, you know, if you like to have a healthy debate. And if you want to listen, if you want to call in and debate, 631-888-8811 is the studio line. If you want to call in and you want to talk about Jets, you want to talk about Giants, if you want to talk about what you just heard from our special guest Brian Monzo about WFAN, Future Sports Talk Radio, I really, if you're like me and you grew up listening to Mike and the Mad Dog, you have a ton of stories and a ton of thoughts about Sports Talk Radio. I mean, it's interesting because I grew up in the New York area, and I thought it was like that in every market, you know, that you had these two guys that just went back and forth. And, of course, you do have that now. But really, no one can capture the chemistry of Mike and Chris Russo. Those two were just such a great team. I remember, and I'll probably get to this later. We'll close up the show with some nostalgia for Mike Francesa, but I'll just tell this one story right now. I remember, I mean, it's not really a great story, but I just remember this is probably in the mid-90s. It's summer. And my mom had to go up to Hartford, Connecticut, and she had to take me with her. She couldn't leave me home by myself. She had to go with her, and we were 2 hours up in the car and 2 hours back. And, of course, it's summertime, and I want to go out to the beach. I want to go out with my friends or whatever, and I kind of was kicking and screaming in the car. Mike, we listened to Mike and the Mad Dog all the way up and all the way back, and it's the dog days of summer. Yankees were off. Mets were off. There was really nothing going on. The two of them talked about what movie they wanted to go see that weekend. And it was great, entertaining radio. The two of them were going back and forth. They were talking about, Mike was talking about how he wanted to see 6 days, seven nights, and he was calling the title wrong, 7 days, six nights. Then they started talking about Harrison Ford. Then they started talking about Harrison Ford's career and all these other actors and actresses. They could take any subject and just go for a while with it. They had just great chemistry, and it was very entertaining. And that car ride up and back, we listened the whole time, and we were entertained the entire time. And that's just one kind of snapshot of how those two were and how much of a force Mike Francesa was here behind the microphone and at WFAN. So let's get to the football action from today. Jets and Giants both in action. The Giants lose, and it was a close game. You know, they were in it right till the end. They actually had a lead 20-7 at one point, and you're not going to take much away from this game, except for if you're a Giants fan and you think that this is the last season for Eli Manning which it very well could be. I have no idea what the Giants are going to do. The Giants are going to have a new GM and a new coach in here next year. But I think you take away something from the Eagles and Nick Foles coming in and throwing four touchdown passes. Nick Foles is a serviceable backup. And I think this, you know, if you're a Giants fan and you're probably thinking this might be Jeff Hostetler 2.0, because in the 1990 season when Jeff Hostetler came in and ends up helping the Giants win Super Bowl 25 and beating the Bills, that very well could be the scenario with the Eagles. And you have a scenario where you're looking at who are the top teams in the AFC, who are the top teams in the NFC. You had probably a potential NFC championship preview last week with the Rams and the Eagles, and the Eagles came out on top. You have this game today with the Patriots and the Steelers, and the Patriots coming up on top with a, you know, a controversial call at the end there. I will say I saw the video. I think they made the right call. I mean, but yeah, what is the catch anymore? I don't know, but the ball does come out. So in my opinion, and if you disagree, 631-888-8811, you can call in. We'll put you right on the air. I thought it was catch, and I thought that it was not a catch. I thought they made the right call. And credit to the Patriots for stealing a win on the road. And the Patriots, if the Patriots are going to get back to the Super Bowl, home field advantage is very important. You saw that two seasons ago when they went into Denver. They lost to Denver during the regular season. Denver gets home field, so Denver hosts the AFC Championship game, and Denver beats New England, and they go to the Super Bowl. New England needs home field advantage, in my opinion, and if they get it, and this game was a big win for them, if they get it, then I think the Patriots go right back to the Super Bowl. And I think, honestly, I think it's Eagles, and as I'm sitting here right now, I think it's the Eagles and I think it's the Rams in the NFC. And if the Eagles get home field advantage, that's huge for them, because the link, Philadelphia, is a tough place to play. Quick NFL update. Oakland has the ball in the second quarter, and they are losing 10-0 to the Dallas Cowboys. If Dallas loses tonight and Atlanta wins tomorrow, I believe Dallas is eliminated from the playoffs. I'll go through the scores just real quickly. If, for those of you who, I don't know, maybe you're in Atlanta listening to this game stuck on a tarmac in Atlanta at the airport. I hope you are not. If you are, my apologies. I've seen some tweets. Some people have been stuck for 6-7 hours because there was a power outage in Atlanta. You know, one of the busiest travel weeks of the year. That's probably not a great way to get the week started off. Buffalo beat Miami 24-16. Carolina, by the way, if you're looking to buy an NFL team, the Carolina Panthers are up for sale. We'll get to that in a little bit. But Carolina beat Green Bay 31-24. Here's the tough thing about the Panthers. The Panthers are 10-4. They're one of the best teams in the NFC. But no one kind of, they can't get out of their own shadow. Earlier this season, they had the Cam Newton thing, and now they've got Jerry Richardson. And if you have not read this article on Sports Illustrated that details some of these sexual misconduct allegations, and apparently former Panthers employees who have been paid and signed non-disclosure and non-disparaging agreements from some of the conduct from Jerry Richardson, you should go check out this article. There's some juicy details in there, and it has led to Jerry Richardson putting the team up for sale. Back to the action on the field. They spoil Aaron Rodgers' return. Carolina wins 31-24. Cleveland still winless. Baltimore beats them 27-10. Jacksonville, the Jags, 45-7 over Houston. Jacksonville 10-4. Minnesota with a statement win, 34-7 over Cincinnati. Marvin Lewis denying the reports that he is leaving the Bengals at the end of the season, but that might be a foregone conclusion. New Orleans beats the Jets 31-19. Giants just fall short to the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia wins 34-29. Washington beat Arizona 20-15. The Rams 42-7 winners over Seattle. New England escaping Pittsburgh with a 27-24 win. Pittsburgh might be without Antonio Brown for a while. Atlanta and Tampa Bay play tomorrow night. And then San Francisco beat Tennessee 25-23. Real quickly on the Giants. And, this game, they battled. They scored a lot of points, which was rare for this offense. They were up 20-7. Special teams, they miss an extra point, get a field goal block, and then they've got a block punt. So it's kind of one of these coulda, woulda, shoulda games. What I think you got to think about with the Giants is next year. Who is their general manager and who is their coach? Does their general manager want to bring in his own guy? Does the coach want to bring in his own guy? What is the future with Eli Manning? I think, I don't know what your list of candidates is for the general manager. For that, obviously, the Giants are going to take their time and find the right candidate. They're going to get a general manager in here first, and then they're going to look for the coach. I think the question is, how much input does that general manager have on who the next coach should be? Is there a general manager-coach pairing, possibly? Is there a general manager who's like, I've got a guy, I want to bring in my guy? I've always gotten the impression that the coach's selection is John Mara is more, he has kind of a heavy influence over that decision. But what are the Giants going to do here? Now, they are, David Gettleman is apparently the former Panthers general manager. He has emerged as the early favorite for the job. This is according to Judy Batista of the NFL Network. Says they're going to start, Giants are going to start interviewing candidates this week. Former Giants general manager Ernie Accorsi is consulting John Mara and Steve Tisch in their search. Excuse me. Jeez, I'm sorry. Kind of frog in my throat, I guess. So you've got, it just from this article, Gettleman, former Washington general manager Scott McLaughlin, and currently Kevin Abrams is the interim general manager right now for the Giants after Jerry Reese was let go. There's been a lot of talk about Kevin Abrams. There's been a lot of talk about Dave Gettleman. What do the Giants do? How patient are the Giants? Will they wait to see if they can talk to someone from the Patriots organization? If they are, is there a possible Nick Caserio, Josh McDaniels pairing, possibly to bring them to New York? I'll tell you this right now. I think Josh McDaniels is the next great NFL head coach. I think so. I think, in my opinion, the formula, I think, to be a successful head coach in the NFL is in your second stint. I think you become a first-time head coach somewhere, you fail, you learn from your mistakes, and then you get an opportunity elsewhere down the road, and maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. That's what happened with Belichick. Belichick went to Cleveland. Now, some of that was kind of, Art Mardell selling the team to Baltimore, but he went to Cleveland. Then he finally becomes a head coach for the second time with the Patriots, and the rest is history. Tom Coughlin. Coughlin was with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He took them to the AFC Championship, but then it didn't work out. He goes to the college ranks for a little bit. Head coach of Boston College. Comes back, coaches named the Giants head coach in 2004, and gets two Super Bowls. So I think if you follow that formula, I think Josh McDaniels is someone to keep an eye on. Now, is he going to come to New York? Who knows? He might be staying to replace Bill Belichick. I don't know how much interest Josh McDaniels has in it. I think he's been asked about it a couple times, and he hasn't said anything. So, but if Josh McDaniels comes in here, does he want to bring his own guy in here? Does he want to get his? Is he going to want to draft, one of these kids coming out from college and go with that and go with the future and just kind of do things his way? One of those questions that needs to be answered. I don't know what Eli Manning's future holds for the Giants. He's got two more years left on his contract. I said this to a friend watching the Giants earlier this season. I was watching the Chiefs game and watching Eli Manning engineer that overtime, drive that set up for the game-winning field goal. And I texted a friend. I said, I'm not ready to watch the Giants without Eli Manning. I'm just not. Now, unfortunately, that's going to be reality sooner rather than later. Is it next season? Who knows? I think it really depends on who the next regime is, who the general manager is, and who the head coaches. I'm trying to put a list together, make a list, check it twice. Sorry, I got to throw in some Christmas pun. You know, it is Christmas is a week from tomorrow. So, I don't know who's interested in the job. I think Bill Cowher and John Gruden are happy to stay where they are. I think John Gruden likes hearing his name, but John Gruden hasn't coached the NFL in a long time. Rex Ryan, nice try, very funny. Wait for the XFL to come in. What is Rex Ryan doing on that ESPN pregame show, by the way? I mean, it's all noise. I'm sorry. I really thought he was going to be a better analyst, and he just doesn't do it for me. I don't know. That's why I like being in the New York area. You can watch the local coverage of both teams, the Jets and the Giants, so you don't have to pay attention to, you know, the Fox and the ESPN pregame shows. I think the Giants are going to maybe look at a coach, someone who has prior head coaching experience. They went the young, hot assistant route with Ben McAdoo, and it just blew up in their face, which is still surprising to me because last year Ben McAdoo was, I mean, Rams fans, if you're listening, I know everybody's making a big deal about Sean McVay, and I don't want to be a buzzkill at all, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking there was all this hype about Ben McAdoo last year. He came in and he was going to be this new wave style offense, and he was going to be the next Giants coach for the next 5-10 years. And unfortunately, this season it just fell flat. So we'll just have to see what happens. It's a what have you done for me lately league, and it's year to year certainly. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Giants in their general manager search and their head coaching search. Is Nick Saban, can they lure Nick Saban out of Alabama? I doubt it. And if I were Nick Saban, why would you leave? Why would you leave Alabama? I think Nick Saban went, he tried it with the Dolphins, didn't work out, and I think he's happy in college. Jim Harbaugh's name has been mentioned as well. I could see Jim Harbaugh maybe wanting a new challenge because Jim Harbaugh likes to kind of hop around. He's kind of got like Larry, he's like Larry Brown. He can't sit still. He can't stay in one place for like 3-4 years at a time. And Jim Harbaugh had success in the NFL with the 49ers. Bill O'Brien, what's Bill O'Brien's future in Houston with the Texans? Bill O'Brien just needs a decent quarterback. He just needs a decent quarterback, and he had one in Deshaun Watson. The football gods giveth, and the football gods taketh away. The Texans were so close. They were so close. That was too bad with the Texans with that injury to Deshaun Watson. So, all right, let's see if I can put a 5 potential head coaching candidates for the New York Giants. I'll go Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien, Todd Haley. I'm just saying that because Sukoff's listening, and I know Sukoff. I know you like Todd Haley. I don't know who else though. That's 3. I mean, that's 2.5 really. I count me in the camp of Josh McDaniels. I think Josh McDaniels would be a great hire for the New York Giants. It just depends on if they're willing to wait, because they're going to have to wait until Wild Card Weekend to talk to Josh McDaniels, because that's what happened last year. And if you're Josh McDaniels, you're in a prime spot. I mean, he met with a couple of teams last year, and his name's always going to be there. There's always going to be interest with Josh McDaniels. His name is always going to come up. So he is in a position where he can wait for the right opportunity. In my opinion, I think, does he want to stay and be Bill Belichick's successor? But the Giants, and Bill Belichick has a lot of respect for the Giants organization. That would be the one job where I think Belichick would say to Josh McDaniels, go forth and good luck. And I hope you beat the Jets when you guys play them once every 4 years. So, yeah, I don't know. Scott Pioli has been mentioned as a potential GM candidate. I don't know. I think if the Giants are dead set on Gettleman, does Gettleman maybe take someone from, does he have someone in mind? I think the Giants front office has a plan. I think they have an idea of what they want to do. So we'll just see. We'll see what names emerge. We'll see what names pop up. I think it's a good job and a good organization. There's a lot of pressure involved. That next coach will have to, he's got to figure out what to do with Eli Manning. You know, there are a ton of scenarios that are at play. That they could draft a quarterback. Quarterback doesn't have to start right away. You know, they could have Eli Manning play for 1 year, and then maybe they throw the kid in the following year. Who knows? So, quick scoring update. Oh, still 10-0. My phone is not refreshed. Sorry. I've got a Galaxy. So, real quickly, I want to get to the big news, though, this evening. The Carolina Panthers owner, Jerry Richardson, I'm just going to read this. He sent out a statement earlier. He is putting the Panthers team up for sale. There has been no greater mission or purpose in my life than to have brought an NFL franchise to Charlotte. The obstacles back then were significant, and even some questioned whether our community could or would support professional football. But I always knew that if given the chance, the Carolinas would rise to the occasion. And you have. The team has become an integral part of our community. The stadium is in its best condition since the day it opened, and we played in 2 Super Bowls. Football is also an integral part of my life, and I am blessed every day that I made the Carolinas my home. I can never repay all of you for the kindness and generosity you have shown me, Rosalind, and my family for more than 2 decades. We have the best fans in football, and I truly mean that. In my opinion, we also have the best organization, and they have served us well. I believe that it is time to turn the franchise over to new ownership. Therefore, I will put the team up for sale at the conclusion of this NFL season. We will not begin the sale process, nor will we entertain any inquiries until the very last game is played. I hope everyone in this organization, both on and off the field, will be firmly focused on just one mission, to play and win the Super Bowl. While I will no longer be the team owner, I will always be the Panthers' number one fan. With respect, always, Jerry Richardson. So that is the statement from Carolina Panthers owner Jerry Richardson. He is putting the team up for sale. He is doing so after an article in Sports Illustrated, which I highly suggest everybody read. Came out about some allegations of sexual misconduct and some of his behavior within the Panthers organization, quoting some anonymous former Panthers employees who spoke on the condition of anonymity because they had signed a non-disclosure agreement and a non-disparageable agreement about some of his actions while they worked for the Carolina Panthers. I highly recommend you guys check out that article. Sports Illustrated really did their due diligence in this article, and this is what has happened. So, real quickly, I just want to plug Sports Talk 1240 WGBB, Rob Kowal. I want to thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. If you're out there listening and you don't like what you hear and you think you could do a better job, guess what? You could have the chance to. If you contact the station, you can get one of these time slots on Sunday from 8 to 10, and you can come in here and rant and rave for an hour, whether you're a Mets fan, whether you're a Yankees fan, Giants fan, Jets fan, maybe you're a Panthers fan, or maybe you're from the South and you just moved up here to New York and you don't like that we don't cover college football at all. I got to say, I lived in North Carolina for 3 years. College football down there, man, that's great. If you want to call Brian Graves, tell him you think hot dog isn't a sandwich, you know, feel free. I love that you won that argument, by the way, on Sunday. I think that's great. You can listen live online. I do a show with Andy Sukoff once a month called Kick Off Your Sunday. It's on Sunday mornings. I think our next show is scheduled for next month, in January sometime. Follow us on Twitter at Kickoff. Excuse me, sorry. Got a frog in my throat. At Kickoff Sunday is our Twitter handle. And you can follow at Sports Talk 1240, at Sports Talk 1240. That's it. So we got a few minutes here. I want to thank Brian Monzo of WFN for calling in and giving us the time. Some good stuff from him, too, about his potential future at WFN, about listening to Mike. listening to Mike Francesa growing up here was just a special treat. And I am really nervous about kind of the future of Sports Talk Radio. I really hope that there's someone that comes in and is kind of that voice. I mean, no one's going to be Mike Francesa, but if there's just someone there who's got some experience and got, you know, the charisma and, you know, the authoritative voice to talk about sports and talk about a topic and be authentic and real. There's too much of this radio, you know, on 98.7, I'm sorry, where there's just this one show and it's just clear these people, you know, one guy is just, they just say stuff to get a reaction and they don't really feel it. They don't believe it. Some of these guys don't even think watch half of the games that they talk about, you know, and they just look bored. So I really, this city, this area needs another sports talk voice, and I hope that that's what they get in the future, and not this hot take stuff. So that is going to do it for me here on Sports Talk 1240. I want to thank my guest, Brian Monzo. I want to thank Brian Graves. Again, shout out to Andy Sukoff for giving me this idea to book Monzo. Have a great holiday, everybody, and we will see you next time here on Sports Talk 1240 on WGBB. Thank you for listening. Good night.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.